out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 16th of January, 2019, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, we've had the meaningful vote. That's what it's called. I'm not quite sure what that says about all the other votes that they have in the British Parliament, whether they don't mean anything at all, but they've had the meaningful vote on Theresa May's Brexit deal, and as predicted, she suffered a humiliating defeat. In actual fact, it was the largest defeat of the government in all history. In all British history, there has never been a greater defeat of a bill that the government was trying to pass. So she's broken the records with that one. Straight afterwards, she came out to say that she was staying, of course, which she always does. Every time she suffers a huge defeat, she refuses to step down. Jeremy Corbyn has called a vote of no confidence in her, which will be supported by Labour and the SNP. But it looks like the Tories will vote in favour of her and the DUP will vote in favour of her, and she will narrowly scrape past the vote of no confidence, which means that she will continue in office. And she's going to try and renegotiate her deal, which she's only got about 6 weeks, less than 6 weeks, I think, in which to do that in. And the EU have already said that they're not going to make any changes to the deal itself. She promised last night that she was going to see Brexit through, but still no mention at all of leaving under World Trade Organization terms. She began all of this by saying that no deal, which is leaving on World Trade Organization terms, would be better than leaving with a bad deal. And she's essentially thrown that threat away. I mean, that is a threat. The EU would really suffer if we left on World Trade Organization terms. They would lose their €39 billion that they're expecting to get, right at a time when Germany is going into recession. France is over budget. Italy is over budget. Greece is over budget. There are already recessions in Greece and Italy. The EU are desperate to get that money. And that's just the start of it. The EU benefits massively from trade with Britain. They would be biting our hands off to get a deal with us the day after we left on World Trade Organization terms. And she appears to have just thrown that ace in her hand away. She's not making any reference to it, despite the fact that they have actually signed up to doing that if they can't actually get a deal. What they should have been doing for the last two and a half years is preparing for what would happen if they left on World Trade Organization terms, and they haven't. You can bet your bottom dollar that the European Union has been preparing for if Britain leaves on no terms, but we quite clearly haven't been, and she's stopped mentioning it. When that's really her, you know, that's her best weapon that she could have used against the EU. But she should be saying, if you don't make these changes to the deal that we want, if you don't make these changes to the backstop, we're going to leave with no deal. And she's not. She's refusing to make that threat, which really does show that she has just been working for the European Union all along. All the politicians, with the exception of a noble few, are all supporting either staying in the EU or making concessions to the deal. But there is, as I say, there is a noble few that are saying that we should be leaving on World Trade Organization terms, and that's basically Jacob Rees-Mogg and, of course, Nigel Farage and Gerard Batten. I've got a quote here that basically describes what's going on. The Prime Minister's Brexit deal was crushed by a historic margin of 202 in favour to 432 against. So it's a more than 2-1 against, paving the way for a vote of no confidence in the government by the opposition, which Mrs. May told MPs she would make time for on Wednesday, January 16th, to debate. So they'll be debating that this afternoon and this evening. A no-deal Brexit has now become the legal default position come March the 29th, under the terms of the European Union Withdrawal Act. But the Prime Minister has said she is still intent on securing a deal of some description, should her government win the impending confidence vote. And the Ramona-dominated Commons is expected to do its utmost to thwart a no-deal in any case. So this is known, this is in the newspapers. The legal default is that if she can't get a deal, we should be just leaving on March the 29th. That's what the Act states. And this is what they're now trying to thwart. They're basically trying to thwart the democratic will of the British people. Straight after the vote, Jean-Claude Juncker tweeted, "I take note with regret of the outcome of the vote in the House of Commons this evening. I urge the UK to clarify its intentions as soon as possible. Time is almost up." So he's threatening there that there isn't time to be doing anything else. They're not going to be making any deals. He's expecting the UK to make a new law that will cancel the law that says that we're going to leave on the 29th. That's what he is hoping for. Donald Tusk makes that inference even more blatant. He said, if a deal is impossible and no one wants no deal, then who will finally have the courage to say what the only positive solution is? And of course, what he sees as a positive solution is us staying in the EU. They're all manoeuvring this as if that's the only positive solution that we can have. And the reason why the EU is doing that is because it's in the EU's benefit for us to stay or accept the deal that they have put in, which would essentially mean that we are stuck with the EU. We would only be leaving in name. We wouldn't actually be leaving in practice. And one of the reasons why people want to leave the EU is because people like Jean-Claude Juncker and Donald Tusk, they're not elected by the people. They're the ones that are actually controlling the EU, or they are the main puppets. They're obviously doing what the bankers tell them to do. But the Euro MPs that we actually vote for, they don't have any say in the laws that they get told to pass. Jean-Claude Juncker and Donald Tusk, they're the ones that tell the Euro MPs what has to be passed. And then the Euro MPs get 5 minutes each to debate whatever the law is. But they're not allowed to make any changes to it. They're not allowed to say, well, we think this is wrong. This needs an amendment. They're not allowed to do that. Unelected people can do that, but elected people can't. It's essentially the same as communism, which just had a shop front of democracy while it was really a dictatorship. And that's exactly what the EU is. It's a dictatorship. And Arlene Foster of the DUP, let's see what she has had to say. Arlene Foster confirms that despite telling her she must try, Theresa the appeaser did not even ask the EU to remove the backstop from the withdrawal agreement. Now, the DUP are the only reason why the Tory party can actually govern. They're the only reason why they've got a majority in Parliament is because the DUP are backing them up. And all of these problems are about the are about Northern Ireland. And Arlene Foster is the leader of the Democratic Unionist Party of Northern Ireland. You would think that Theresa May would be doing her absolute damnedest to do what Arlene Foster has asked her to do, considering the favour that Arlene Foster has done for Theresa May's party, and she's done nothing at all about it. She hasn't even spoken to the EU about the backstop. Again, that shows you where Theresa May's loyalties lie. They certainly don't lie with Northern Ireland. They certainly don't lie with the United Kingdom. They lie with the EU. Nigel Farage has put this very bluntly. He said, let's be clear. We didn't just vote to leave the European Union in a referendum. We backed it up in a general election where 80% of people voted for parties that said they would honour the result of the referendum. On top of that, 500 MPs voted for Article 50. They are our elected representatives. They took the decision, and now they are trying to wriggle out of that. And of course, Article 50, that's the withdrawal agreement. That's the law, that's the statute that they made into law that says that we will be leaving on March the 29th, either with a deal or on World Trade Organization terms. So all these 500 MPs that signed that, that backed that bill, are now going back on their word and trying to scupper that. And of course, Farage finishes by saying the political class ignoring the will of the people is a complete betrayal of the greatest democratic exercise in the history of our nation. And it's made a mockery of democracy. The rest of the world is just laughing at Britain at the moment, at our incompetent parliament. Gerard Batten said, Mrs. May knows that she cannot win the vote on Tuesday. She is attempting to present herself as a force for Brexit, but nobody is buying it. Mrs. May's so-called deal would turn Britain into a vassal state of the EU, prepared to go back in a few short years. That's the point of this, you see. If we'd gone along with this deal that she made, everybody would have got sick of it and been asking to join the EU again within a couple of years, because we wouldn't have been able to get out and we wouldn't have even had Euro MPs. Continuing, he said, what we are witnessing is the political establishment fighting over their preferred method of stopping Brexit. Should it be through Mrs. May's surrender document? Should it be through a general election? Or should it be through another referendum? Batten observed wryly. In their arrogance and contempt for the will of the 17.4 million who voted to leave the European Union, the political establishment have embarrassed the nation in the eyes of the world. And of course, I say that the only way Theresa May can really get out of this is if she calls a general election. The Parliament then has to stand down, and then there is no danger of any of the traitor MPs making any statutes to block Article 50, because Parliament would have to stand down. That would mean that we then left the EU on March the 29th, had the election on April the 6th or 7th or whatever it is, and then Parliament would reform with a new government, and then the new government could do all the deals that they wanted to once we've left. This is a problem. They're saying we can't do the deals until we've actually left. Well, leave then. Leave on World Trade Organization terms, and then you can tailor your trade deals with whatever country or whatever bloc that you are doing the trading with. If she was to do that, she would redeem herself. And she would go down in the history books as the politician that enacted the will of the people, forced the will of the people through against a bloc of traitors. So it all really just depends on Theresa May, on how she wishes to go down in history, really. Whether she wants to go down as the biggest failure ever, or whether she wants to go down as supporting the democratic will of the people. judging by her past record, obviously she's a traitor. She would rather do what the EU tell her to, but she does keep saying, she has kept promising that, we will leave the EU on March the 29th. And that's the only way to guarantee it, is if she calls the general election and ensures that we do leave on World Trade Organization terms. And I've got another piece from Westminster here before we leave Brexit news. A petition that stands against any extension to Article 50 is the most popular one in the country on the official parliamentary petition website right now. And of course, an extension to Article 50 would be a statute to block it from taking place. It states Article 50 must not be suspended or stopped under any circumstances, and goes on to say the time is here to take action, as there has been excessive foot-dragging and delaying tactics by those opposed to Brexit. Right now, it has 28,000 signatures, with more than 500 people signing it in the past hour. Having surpassed 10,000 signatures, it will receive a response from the government, and at 100,000, it may secure a debate in Parliament. The next two most popular petitions on the site, in terms of sign-up per hour, are both in favour of no deal. Expect this to be completely ignored by the mainstream media. A no-deal Brexit petition surged well beyond 300,000 signatures and secured a debate in Parliament, with Brexiteer MP Steve Double saying, on the ballot paper, it did not say leave with a withdrawal agreement. It did not say leave with a free trade deal. It did not say leave with any strings attached. It simply said leave or remain, and they voted to leave. And I think that's generally what the public feeling is about this, is just get on with it and leave. Well, I've got some news from Finland. You remember that a while back I had a news report of child rapes that were going on in Oulu, and the fact that the chief of police there actually warned the youngsters of Oulu to be wary of foreigners, and pointed out that the foreigners were vastly overrepresented in the rape statistics there, which is a nice change from the way that this is dealt with in the rest of Europe, where they try to cover it up. This comes from Voice of Europe. A number of cases of rape and abuse of children with foreign perpetrators have been revealed in Oulu in the northern parts of Finland since last autumn, Freya Tida reports. The police are investigating another four cases with girls under the age of 15, where three perpetrators of foreign background have been arrested as suspected of rape and serious sexual abuse of children. In all cases, the suspects have a background as refugees or asylum seekers. And now the police in Helsinki have arrested several migrants suspected of serious rape and serious sexual abuse of children. The crimes have been committed in the last 2 months. No direct link with the cases in Oulu is currently known. So this isn't a pedophile ring. This is a common behaviour among these refugees. Finland's Prime Minister Juha Sipilä wrote on Twitter, as a result of the inhuman and reprehensible events in Oulu and Helsinki, the government will meet next week in negotiations both on Tuesday and Friday. It is unbearable that people who have asked for and even received asylum from us have brought such evil and caused unsafety here, the country's president Sauli Niinistö said in a statement. Helsinki police point out the importance of parents informing their children to be cautious on social media where the foreign rapists find their victims. Well, it is unbearable, and it's completely abominable that people that ask for shelter and that ask for help then turn around and rape your children. But this was predictable. This is something that happens wherever they are. The amazing thing about this is that it hasn't been hundreds of children, it hasn't been thousands of children or near on a million children like they suspect in Britain. The actual numbers of the children that have been raped here are still in the double figures, I would say. And Katie Hopkins is over there at the moment. And she's been talking to Swan of Tula, or Tina, I believe her name is. She does a weekly podcast with Ramsey Paul. And she's also one of the organisers of the Awakening Conference that took place last year with Jared Taylor and Millennial Woes. And this is really good. This comes on the heels of Katie Hopkins retweeting an advert for this year's Awakening Conference, which features Kevin MacDonald and Jared Taylor. And this is good news because Katie Hopkins is a very, very prominent part of the alt-light and the civic nationalist sphere of influence. And for her to be working with people that are on the alt-right and retweeting an advert for Awakening and retweeting pictures of her with Tina, that's fantastic news. That is really good news to see collaboration between the two. I've always said that Katie Hopkins improves every year. She gets a little bit better and she goes a little bit further to the right. So perhaps this will be the year that Katie Hopkins finally discovers the Jewish question. We'll have to wait and see. Finally, I've got some news from Germany here. Now, you'll recall that we've already discussed the fact that the Antifa bombed the office of the Alternative for Germany. And then a couple of days after that, Frank Magnitz, I think his name was, there was an assassination attempt against the MP, Frank Magnitz. A really horrific assassination attempt. You look at the damage that was done to his face. So they obviously hit him with some kind of a piece of wood, maybe a piece of wood with nails in it. Some serious heavy weapon was used to smash him over the head with and knock him out. He's very lucky to be alive. It's quite clearly an assassination attempt. You would think that the German government would at least put the Antifa under surveillance. You would expect them to be designated as a terrorist organization. I mean, this is one step forward from doxing people and trying to get people to lose their jobs. This is serious, almost fatal violence, assassination attempts on MPs. But no, the German government aren't going to do that. The German government's response is to put the AfD under surveillance. The newly installed head of the German secret police has announced plans to put the largest opposition party in Germany under surveillance. The new head of the Versammlungsschutz, Thomas Haldenwang, wants to put the Alternative for Germany under secret police surveillance for alleged anti-democratic tendencies, Focus magazine reported today. Did they seize power? No, they didn't seize power. They were voted into government. How can they claim that they have anti-democratic tendencies when they were voted into government? Chancellor Angela Merkel has forced out Secret Police Chief Hans-Georg Maaßen, a vocal opponent of Secret Police observation of AfD, in November. Maaßen had challenged Merkel for claiming that there had been Nazi manhunts in Chemnitz at the end of August, a claim for which no real evidence has ever been presented, but was widely echoed by all the mainstream media. So Merkel had a decent secret police chief, and she kicked him out and replaced him with somebody else that would be more likely to approve of putting the AfD under surveillance. If the German secret police officially label the AfD as extremist, it will prevent lawyers, teachers, and government employees from joining the Conservative Party. And I guess it will also mean that any of their members, any of their MPs that also happen to be teachers or lawyers, then they'll lose their jobs. This is a pure propaganda campaign to smear us, said AfD foreign policy spokesman Peter Beistrom. The Verfassungsschutz has been keeping tabs on us for months and published a 1,000-page report which found no evidence whatsoever of any sort of illegal activity, With the European and state elections coming, which promise to be a landslide for the AfD, the ruling parties need some way to attack us. This is the same secret police that has allowed Islamic terrorists to roam freely, such as Anis Amri, who perpetrated the 2016 Christmas market massacre. They are subject to political control by the ruling parties, who now are not hesitating to use them as a political weapon to club their opponents with. Now, one other thing about this Verfassungsschutz. Apparently, they were formed after the war, and their actual purpose is to prevent a National Socialist Party from entering government. So what would happen if the AfD were to actually win the elections and take over the government? Would the Verfassungsschutz steam in there and arrest them? Because they quite clearly seem to think that they are a National Socialist Party. Otherwise, they wouldn't be agreeing to put them under surveillance, even though they've said that they're not extremist. So, this really highlights the fact that Germany is still under occupation after the war. Germany is not a free country. Germany was divided up between the Soviets and the Allies. When the Berlin Wall came down and the Soviet Union fell, that part of Germany ceased to be controlled by the Soviets. But the side that was under the Allies is still controlled by the Allies. Does this Verfassungsschutz, do they answer to America? Or do they answer to whoever is in government in Germany? Interesting to see what happens here. But obviously what should be going on is the secret police should be investigating the Antifa. They're the ones that are a threat to Germany. They're the ones that are selling bombs off and trying to assassinate people. The AfD are just speaking up for the German people and speaking up for what's best for the German people and trying to prevent the violent crimes that are occurring. I think one of the reasons why they're going after the AfD may be because one of their MPs has pointed out that the Holocaust memorials there are memorials of shame. And they are. It's a memorial to something that the Germans believe they carried out and which the world believes to have been the worst ever genocide. And they put memorials up to that. That would be like the Americans putting up memorials to massacring lots of Indians, or memorials to the French in France, the French massacring Negroes. It's just not something that you do. You put up memorials to your great heroes of the past. You don't put up memorials to things which you are embarrassed about. And yet the Germans are forced to do that. Again, this shows that they're living under occupation. They're not actually making their own laws. Just think of Angela Merkel when she discovered she was being spied on by America. Was she able to cut diplomatic ties with America? No, she wasn't. Look at all the bases, the American bases that are in Germany. Germany is not a free country. The German people cannot homeschool their own children. They're not even allowed to school their own children. They're told that their own children don't even belong to them. They belong to the state. Everything possible must be done to prevent Germany ever becoming nationalist again. This is why I really do support the AfD, because they have such obstacles to overcome to get to the position that they're in. It really is amazing that the AfD have managed to get themselves into parliament when you think of what they are up against. And when people say, well they're a little bit milquetoast, that they're not really white nationalists or whatever, they wouldn't be able to get to where they are if they were. This Verfassungsschutz would have shafted them by now. They're having to walk a tightrope, basically. And they're doing very well because they keep increasing their vote count. Every time there's an election, they increase their share of the vote. and they're doing really well. And this, I think this will probably help them all the more, to be honest, because it just shows how much they're being persecuted by Angela Merkel, even though they are the official opposition party. I mean, this is communist tier stuff. It really is, to have any opposition under secret police surveillance. Anyway, hopefully we'll keep seeing good things from the AfD, especially in the European elections, which are coming up in May. That brings us to the end of today's podcast. Thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.